Saddle up your horses. Well, welcome everyone to the Robin Walter Show, part of the Red Sky Radio Network. God bless you today. Boy, you know, it's sort of hard to get used to the post-election new world. People are going back to work, doing some things. People are building. People are planning new things. Goodness sakes, I've decided I'm going to take on, start maybe doing some criminal law, which I really haven't done. Maybe I shouldn't be taking it on, but I'm talking to people who are just kind of, hey, maybe we should do this now. It's sort of as though the election was liberating and freeing. Well, not sort of, I think it was. And what? To be able to dream again? To be able to take some risk again, to want to build, to do some things that people were holding back on until this election was over, and seeing if we had some drunk communist as a president, or would we have somebody who is very, very sane and a tough guy in the White House, which we need, who's accomplishing so much. I have to say, I don't think there has ever been a president who's accomplished more than Donald Trump before he was ever sworn in. Not even close. I mean, goodness sakes, from nations that are doing this and that, ones that are kind of jockeying around because of the tariffs, ones that are playing nicer with us because of some past anti-Semitic leanings and statements and policies that they've had, to the media, which is mainstream, is tanking. And I promise to start with good news whenever I can. And today I have some good news that I'm going to start with. And it does, in fact, deal with the media. So since election night, which is now over 3 weeks ago, we had MSNBC, which is, when people say, well, kind of left-leaning MSNBC, when somebody says MSNBC is left-leaning, that tells you nothing about MSNBC, does it? No, because you know what the station is like. They're far-left warthogs. Honestly, they are. What it tells you is something about where the person who's making that statement is sitting on the political spectrum. So if somebody said Adolf Hitler was a centrist or a moderate, well, knowing that he's not a centrist and he was not a moderate tells you only something about the person making the statement. Doesn't tell you anything worth anything about Hitler. Or if somebody said that Joe Biden was a moderate, Joe Biden was a left-wing whack job with no brains, no cojones, and no morals. I got nothing. And actually, he was better than Harris. So when people say those things, just understand, you don't believe everything you read. Understand, if you know what you're reading about, then what the writer says is not quite as important anymore because they're bringing their bias into the story. So let's just deal with MSNBC, which is not left-leaning. They're a far-left whack job cable channel, as is CNN, which is far-left. These two network cable companies have lost. I hope you're sitting down for this. MSNBC has lost, this is why this is good news, 52% of its primetime audience. over half of its primetime audience is gone. Now, I'll tell you where they went here in a minute, probably is not a surprise. But some of this is certainly due to the fact that they were so incredibly and ridiculously wrong that even their whole hog supporters and viewers are now taking it out on them to be so wrong. And then add that to going and kissing the ring of the orange Hitler, Donald Trump, down in Mar-a-Lago. Hitler, 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 fascism, fascism. Oh, let's go talk to the guy. So they just annihilated their own image in front of a good portion of the fan base, and they're down 52%. CNN, which is also a left-wing whack job, but not to the degree of MSNBC. They are a little bit less whack job than MSNBC, but they have lost 39% of its already dinky primetime audience in 3 weeks. 52% and 39%. This is great news. That means these people have to go somewhere else. And where are they going? Interestingly, the great majority of them are going to Fox News. Their viewership since election night has increased 24%. That's really, really amazing number. And they now actually have 73% of the cable news watchers' prime time listening audiences, CNN and MSNBC, just completely tank. I mean, Fox is now the most watched network in all of television prime time. Now, we all have had people on the right, we conservative, had our issues with Fox. They certainly don't get it right all the time. They don't get it right necessarily most of the time, but they do get it right a substantial minority of the time. So maybe these people have left MSNBC and CNN are thinking Fox is the most acceptable station, being kind of middle of the road, so to speak. But not only is Fox absolutely destroying MSNBC and absolutely destroying CNN, Fox now is the most watched network in all of television primetime, as I said. And what that means is they now eclipse ABC. They beat CBS. They beat NBC. And they beat all cable networks with over 4 million viewers. All cable networks. They are sitting at the top of the heap. It's really just amazing. Now, I listen to Fox a little bit. I've watched mostly Newsmax. I really, really like Newsmax. I will say that there's one thing that they're planning to do that I totally, completely, wholeheartedly disagree with, and I can't even disagree with it more, and that is going public. I've shared this before, but when they go public, that means anybody can buy the stock. And so who could buy the stock? Reid Hoffman, huh? Okay. George Soros, go right. Alex Soros, the son, go right on down the line of the left wingers who want to own and control network news. They come in, they start buying up the stock. Pretty soon, they're the major shareholders, and the board of directors bears no relationship to what the current board of directors is, and you've just defiled and spoiled Newsmax. In which case, I'd be back to Fox at that point. Huge, huge mistake. So, anyway, well, that is our good news for the day. And I think it is good news. Now, we get into, I want to make a correction from last week. When I get something wrong, I need to own it. Not an error in judgment, but I didn't have the right information. I did a piece on all the people in 2016 who said that they would leave if Trump were elected. And none of them left. They all broke their campaign promises. Barbara Streisand, you broke your campaign promise. Bruce Springsteen, you broke your campaign promise. Of course, they're not campaigning, but they're making promises about campaigns, so that makes it a campaign promise to me. None of them left. And I said on last week's program that no one else has left today who has said that they were going to leave, and they haven't. Well, in fact, a couple have. Ellen DeGeneres and her lesbo lover, they split for England. No loss there. Eva Longoria, I know that name. I don't know who the heck she is. I don't care who she is. I know she's popular, but I don't really know. And I don't want to learn. She left. Good news. Don't let the screen door slap you on the fanny on the way out. So it's great news to me that there are actually a few leftists who are leaving the U.S. Wow. Good news. And so the question kind of becomes, though, why? Actually, why are they leaving? Now, the news came out today that Reid Hoffman, the corpulent mega donor, left-wing super mega donor, he announced that maybe he's leaving town also. And it probably would be flying a C-47 transport to get him out of this country, but he's got the money to pay for it. But why are they? I mean, yeah, it's great news that some leftists are leaving. I think it's great news that the illegal criminals and that won't leave are going to be fleeing to Massachusetts, Illinois, and primarily California. I'm sorry, I love a lot. I got a lot of California friends and listeners. But if it has to keep getting worse before it finally gets better, then so be it. If California ends up with 20 million illegals, one-third of their entire population, and they finish destroying the state, I'm sorry, too bad, so sad. If that's Gavin Newsom's policy, maybe people will finally have enough brains, guts, and morals to vote that flea bag out of office. So, but why are they leaving? Well, some of them are leaving because there's nothing left for them to do, they don't think. They think that the failure was so huge on the left that their job is done, and so why hang around when there's nothing to do? So let's blow out of town. Some of them are leaving because of anticipated lawsuits. It's number two. I don't think that's got to be the only reason why the people on The View keep reading these legal notes, somehow thinking that if they end up completing and properly reporting a story that they didn't properly report 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 3 months ago, that somehow they'll absolve themselves of all liability for defamation and various other lawsuits that can be brought about. I don't think that'll work. I don't think you can defame somebody and have it spread all around the country and people acting upon those defamatory comments and then say, oops, pardon me, I want to do over 4 months later and be cleansed of your sins. Doesn't work that way with defamation. But and I don't watch The View. But anyway, that's my view. Number three, this might be the case with Reid Hoffman, who knows, but with some others contemplating leaving the country, I come back to something I raised a couple weeks ago, but it deals with the possibility, or the promise, actually, that Donald Trump has set forth about revealing and disclosing the entirety of the Epstein list for those who traveled to Pedophile Island. Now, that could affect a lot of people, not just those on the left. although the left has certainly more pedophiles than the right. It's clear. Trannies vote disproportionately. Pedophiles, particularly queer males who are into pedophilia, without question, vote overwhelmingly Democratic. They don't have any morals, and neither does the party. So that's just my thought. Lawsuits, no more work to do because they think it's hopeless. They'll come back when somebody calls them back and they think that there's an opportunity to unseat Trump's replacement or beat Trump's replacement. And then the pedo list for Epstein Island, I think, is going to be the other reason that some of them actually will be leaving. That could be the number one reason. Hard to say. I did not want to touch on this, but I'm going to. The Ibarra, the killer of Lake and Riley. This has been so covered at all levels of the media. One of the things that I have stated in the past and at various times is that I have no point, no desire, I have no role, I have no purpose in being on the air if I'm just going to restate and recycle news that has been hashed out in other mediums, other venues. I need to bring something to the table that I feel that God has given me as an insight, or to bring a biblical perspective to a secular event that certainly is not going to be brought up and brought out on mainstream news. And that God gave me, I think, in dealing with the Lake and Riley murder and the consequent conviction of life imprisonment with no parole for Mr. Ibarra. And that is a Bible verse. I actually haven't raised this passage since doing a program dealing with abortion and the execution of all the innocent unborn human lives in the womb. But in Ezekiel 13, and we have something that addresses this Ibarra case, because this murder was so gruesome, so horrible. This is a guy that you know in your gut should be killed. He should be executed, maybe a firing squad, maybe on public TV, something that sends the message. And in Ezekiel 13, we have a passage in verse 10. They're going to find very instructive here. And it speaks to this issue. And God speaking says, are you going to pollute me among my people for handfuls of barley and for pieces of bread? Are you going to slay, will you slay the souls that should not die, which is the abortion-related component of this passage, to slay the souls that should not die and then save the souls alive that should not live? This is God speaking through the prophet. You're killing people who should live. You're killing innocent people. And you're keeping alive people who should not have the right to stay alive. I mean, God's for capital punishment under his terms. It's not that he's out wanting to kill. I mean, you know, he could end the world if he wanted to, other ways. But Scripture clearly supports capital punishment. There's some rules. There's some requirements before it can be applied, such as a witness requirement of two or more witnesses are necessary. It gets a little confusing, I think, a bit when we bring into play things like DNA, which seem to be as positive as an eyewitness. I don't want to go into that depth of it, but the point of this is there is a biblical passage that deals with Lake and Riley's killers' improper, wrong punishment. Severe, life imprisonment, no parole. Yeah. Maybe he gets saved in prison. Who knows? But that's not the reason to not carry out that which the scriptures say should be. The punishment should be death. And people will say, well, you know, capital punishment is really not a deterrent to crime. Well, that's a false statement. The way we do it is a deterrent. If somebody doesn't get executed until 31 years after the sentence of execution is set forth, of course it's not a deterrent. And Ecclesiastes 8:11 says why it's not a deterrent. It says that because the sentence against an evil work is not carried out quickly, the heart of man is fully set to do evil. I mean, you think about it. Let's suppose you've got a 10-year-old son, 12-year-old grandson, for our older listeners. And you tell him, look, if you do that again, sonny boy, you're not going to get a graduation present. So telling a 12-year-old to not do something again, because the consequence is he's not going to get a present for a time period that's half of his existing lifespan so far, is no deterrent at all. But it has to be done quickly, has to be done speedily, or it will the heart of man will remain fully set on evil. My wife is a great horse person. I've had horses, a couple of them. I've been a companion rider, but I'm not a quality rider like she is. And she has said, and it's true, many others have said, that if the horse misbehaves or does something wrong, the corrective action has to be done within seconds. Seconds, just a couple of seconds. Whether that, let's say the horse tries to bite you and you need to give a little whack upside the mouth, you got to do it right away. Right away, because that horse will not make the connection with an activity and then delayed punishment. No way. But that's the horse world. The fact is, people aren't much different in that respect. Delayed punishment is a delay in correction. And actually, you may be foregoing the correction if the punishment is delayed. In the case of Lake and Riley's murder, not only people say, well, it wouldn't be a deterrent. Well, of course it would be if in a relatively short period of time, and I mean months, Ibarra was executed. Obviously, it's a deterrent to Ibarra because he's not committing any more crimes, right? But that's not what we mean by deterrence. We mean by deterrence the fact that it's going to be a wake-up call for others who might participate in that same behavior and then not do it. So imagine if we did have capital punishment like we should have, and it was carried out speedily, as it says it should be in Ecclesiastes 8:11, then imagine just how many executions the person doing the killing, the murderer, might actually rethink that with the thought that if they get caught, they could be toast in the next 6 months. Just a thought. Okay. I said once before that I did not anticipate ever coming back to anything COVID-related. I so hate talking about this, except that they are now talking about a renewal of shots and forcing things, honestly forcing things before Trump can get into office. He knows now he was totally duped by Fauci. Fauci's a liar. He's a consummate liar. He should actually be tried for treason to an extent, and the fact that he's used public office to the detriment of the entire country through his lies. But we now have a National Institute of Health, which is sort of like our CDC, but in England, for the UK, an official there, a high official, has blown apart the whole COVID-19 vax thing, which we know, I don't want to go into the proof. I'm so over this, but we know it was bogus. It didn't prevent spreading. It doesn't cure you. It doesn't prevent getting it. Doesn't prevent spreading it. The whole stinking thing was a lie. The 6-foot rule, where did that come from? Totally made up. Well, here is the chief of health data standards for the UK, the National Institute of Health, their CDC, saying, I don't even know that these vaccines could stop you from getting COVID. Fact is, they don't. I should not be saying, no, I probably shouldn't be saying this out loud. Why? Well, he's probably going to lose his job. Because he said that the COVID schemes imposed on tens of millions of people by the government were completely made up. He says, and I quote, I probably shouldn't be saying this out loud. I don't even know if these vaccines stop you from getting COVID. They don't. But we are all going to learn about vaccine safety when it's too late, end quote. Pfizer and Moderna, still quoting, are just getting a bunch of money from it and from all the vaccine mandates. None of this was based on any real evidence like the 6-foot rule. It's completely and totally made up, end quote. Well, the only time a 6-foot separation would ever absolutely prevent you from getting a disease is if the 6 foot was down. In other words, 6 feet under the ground. That is when you can't catch something that somebody has died from, is when they're deader than a doornail and they're 6 feet under the ground, not 6 feet away from you in the shopping line or at the hardware store or anywhere else at church. What a crock. Fauci, well, you know what I think about him. All right, next. Nancy Mace, who's come out and put forth this resolution in the House of Representatives that no biological male can use a women's restroom. I'm not going to quote her on this program. She's pretty graphic. Nothing wrong with being graphic, but the trannies have forced this. This woman has been undergoing a relentless, unbelievable set of attacks on her character, her life, her family. It is just so unbelievable. Trannies are violent. Trannies are screwed up. Trannies need biblical deliverance. Some trannies are demon-possessed. The Nashville killer, I'll tell you, take any tranny who's got a gun, they shouldn't be armed. When they go killing, and they do a lot of killing, do you ever get to read the manifesto about how they hate people who aren't screwed up? They hate normal? Well, Anna Paulina Luna, Republican from Florida, she introduced this resolution condemning the death threats that she's received over her bill that seeks to protect women's rights. Why are left-leaning women, like on The View, pro-tranny, when the ones who are at risk with some guy who claims he's a chick, some guy who someday will have to get prostate exams, is in a woman's restroom threatening girls? We've already had the rapes. How is that? How can a pro-women's lib leftist support trannies who invariably prey on women and are a danger to women and a violation of women's rights? Whether it's in the sports, whether it's in the locker room, what a bunch of hypocrites. Don't go away. This is Robin Walter. We'll be right back.
The Robin Walter Show is a listener-supported program. Your contribution goes to help as many people as possible to hear that the Word of God has answers to help you survive and even thrive in the dark days ahead in this country. We pledge to bring you the critical information you need to make informed decisions in this age where big tech and big media have conspired to rid our country of everything Christian. Please send your support to Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. That's Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Thank you.
All these years later, I still love that song. I am a Michigan boy. That's Mitch Ryder and the Detroit Wheels. Oh, well, anyway, these threats, you know what? I'm not going to read them. They are so gross. I can't read them on the air anyway because of all the F-bombs in it. But just things like, someday I hope to find you in the women's bathroom, grab your blah, blank, 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 and drag you face down on the floor while I repeatedly bash in your head until the blood's everywhere and you're dead. That's one of the nice ones. I don't know why they can't track these people down and arrest them. It's a death threat, is it not? Oh, goodness sakes. Well, I know Thanksgiving is past. It's amazing how many people on the left are starting to want to get rid of Thanksgiving. I sort of get it. They lost, and they want to cancel Thanksgiving now because apparently they don't have anything to be thankful for. I think that's it. They want to leave this country. What's there to be thankful? Let's get rid of Thanksgiving. It's a Donald Trump holiday. Well, that's about what they're saying, and they certainly cannot stand people celebrating Thanksgiving and in that giving of thanks, thanking God for Donald Trump's election. God's a merciful God, but he won't strive with man forever. One of these times, when this country goes south, it is the end. He's heard the prayers of his people. He's heard the cries that kind of like went up. It said that God brought down the angels of Sodom and Gomorrah because he heard so much of the cry of the people about that wicked land. He had to come down and deal with it. Well, I thank God for that, that he has he's listened. People have interceded. Because there are some that are simply not going to quit going in the wrong direction. And I'm going to bring up Gavin Newsom. If he's really serious about climate change, he wouldn't use so much axle grease in his hair. But beside that is the fact that he is now proposing, all right, there's a possibility that the electronic vehicle credit, the EV credit, is going to go away under Trump. And because Newsom has only one particular mission in life, and that is to oppose everything Trump proposes. I said this facetiously on a program a while back. If you wanted to get rid of abortion in California, because that's why it's called Killifornia, is because they lead the country in abortions. You make them, we scrape them, no fetus will beat us. Might as well be on the state flag. If you really wanted to get rid of abortion in California, all Donald Trump has to do is come out in support of abortion on demand. And because they oppose everything he says, then they'd probably be, you know, obviously I'm being facetious, but you get the point that he only has one mission. So with a possibility, maybe even a probability of the EV tax credits going away under Trump, Newsom has come out and said, of course, that California will have its own EV credit. If it goes away at the federal level, you'll at least get the credit for the California state tax level. However, he would exclude Elon Musk's Tesla. I mean, do you realize this guy is not only, this is immaturity to the level of childish. I'm going to get you because I don't like you and I'm going to doggone it, I'm going to do this to you. My gosh, what a, he's a punk. That's all this guy is a self-obsessed punk surrounded by mirrors so he can look at himself all the time. And this picture is, he knows how to be smug and snotty to the nth degree. I mean, first of all, that's unconstitutional. Why not just pass a bill that says Democrats will pay a 12% income tax and Republicans will pay 18% tax? It's called a violation of the equal protection of the law. It's to carve out one person. He hates Musk because Musk supports Trump. He hates Musk because Musk blew out of California because he didn't want to just kiss away all of his tax dollars in the Golden State and went to Texas. They lost tons of tax revenue when Musk pulled out of California. And doggone it, he's going to get the guy by excluding his Tesla from the EV tax credit. Oh my gosh, this guy is. That's what I say, you know, it's just going to have to, I'm sorry, California, whether it's 8 million illegals or 12 million illegals or this guy finishing off ruining the economy. Why home prices still go up there is, beats me. But that may just simply have, it may have to get worse before it gets better. Okay, next. We have this interesting developed this week. Netanyahu announcing the ceasefire with Hezbollah. And the Israeli cabinet approves. So how did this come about? One of the things we do not know is to what extent did Donald Trump or his emissaries personally involve themselves in the talks? We don't know that. I am going to guess not much, but we don't know. But what we do know is the last thing Hezbollah wants is Donald Trump weighing in 100% on Israel's side. I will tell you, Joey No Brains Biden is going to take credit for the greatest peace plan ever. Yeah, I did this. Oh, glory, hallelujah. Look what we did. The fact is, Joey could not do jack, and Cammie sure couldn't do jack if they were in the White House or Harris succeeding Biden. No, Hezbollah would be energized because Biden and Harris basically support the Palestinians, right? Yeah, they do. So, why is Hezbollah moved to do something, finally? Because Donald J. Trump is coming to town. Because a new sheriff is going to be in town. And they better clean up their act. They better cut a deal while they can cut it, maybe on terms that they would never get with Trump in office, but with under terms that they could squeeze out with the namby-pambies in the Biden administration, the eunuchs that dress up like men, the ones who want to have Joey's legacy be draped in an Israeli peace plan. No, it only happened because of Trump's election, because it's the only reason Hezbollah would ever come to terms. They would ever talk. Yeah, who doesn't want to be known as the peacemaker? Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. And the one who's blessed here, who did this, is actually Trump, just by getting elected. Well, I guess the other thing is, of course, if Joey has his peace plan, if the whole thing blows up for any reason, then, of course, they will contend that it's Donald Trump's fault, right? Well, but there's something else here I find pretty intriguing because it's hypocritical. It's wrong, at a minimum, hypocritical, maybe at worst, because hypocrisy is worse than just an error in judgment. But the left is hailing this as peace in the Middle East. They're hailing this as the end of war. It is not an armistice. It's not even a truce. It's a ceasefire. A ceasefire. That's a ceasefire means they've just stopped firing. It doesn't mean they've come to any real terms in the intermediate, let alone long term. It's just a present stopping of hostilities. But they are equating and conflating ceasefire with an Israeli peace. Well, you know, I like what Thomas Jefferson said. He said peace is when everybody just stands around while they're reloading. That's all peace is. It's when everybody's just standing around reloading. In other words, peace is never lasting, and it won't be until Jesus returns. In fact, there's that time in the end times where it says that everybody will say peace, peace, when there is no peace, and Israel will realize that they have been betrayed when the Antichrist makes himself known, and he comes out and does his thing as you would expect from an Antichrist. So even when there is what we think is a lasting peace in the Middle East, there is biblically no such thing. Does that mean, though, that you shouldn't work for a peace? No, of course you would work for a peace. Are we called to pray for the peace of Jerusalem? Absolutely. And I would say to all of the listeners here, pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because it comes with a reward. Those who pray, there's a prosperity. There's a blessing on those who pray for the peace of Jerusalem, even though we know it won't last until Jesus returns, because it's his return that establishes the lasting peace in Jerusalem and elsewhere. But there's something of merit to have periods of peace. The longer the better. It will blow up at some point when the Antichrist emerges from the back room. But it's a good thing, and it comes with a bit of a reward. It's just that it's kind of bogus here for Biden administration to claim that they have brought peace to the Middle East. Well, all right. Something that I think is kind of interesting here. I hope you do too. And then we're going to move on actually to closing out the program. But a Gallup poll. Gallup kind of from a Gallup and Rasmussen are the two polls that have had some legitimacy. Gallup just because they've been around forever, and Rasmussen being the poll that everybody else copies 24 to 48 hours before the election, because Rasmussen gets it right and all the other polling agencies want to be right, but they actually don't want to be right as much as they wanted to not reveal public opinion. They want to drive public opinion. They want to create public opinion, which is why the ABC and CNN polls are always wrong. The Iowa poll, goodness gracious, wrong. They try to change public opinion through the poll. But 24, 48 hours before the election, then they'll start to agree with Rasmussen, who is virtually always right. But this is a Gallup poll. And for more non-election-based polling, they're pretty good. And this doesn't surprise me. They revealed here that gun ownership is higher among Republican women than among Democrat men. Gun ownership is higher among Republican women than Democrat men. And I might add, may it always be that way. Because a gun in the hand of a woman, I don't care what size she is, gargantuan or petite, the average woman is not as strong as the average man, not as fast as the average man, but the gun is the great equalizer. The gun is what allows a woman, not a Clint Eastwood, but a woman to say, well, do you feel lucky, punk? Well, do you? And the fact of the matter is, Democrat men don't believe somehow in apparently protecting themselves, which means they also don't believe in protecting their wives or their children. I mean, that's good change as the necessity arises to do so. But the fact that higher percentage of Republican women own guns than Democrat men says two things. One thing about Republican women, go girls, and it says something else about Democrat men. Men who aren't really men. Men who don't have the guts to stand up for and protect those who supposedly they love, much less themselves. And apparently Republican women who have taken on the duty to not only protect themselves, but everybody else they love. And who knows? Maybe people they don't love, but who are innocent. Oh, boy. Well, the importance of Donald Trump, we can see it in yet another way, and that is that if you combine all the deaths from car accidents, all the deaths from gun violence, and you take suicide, and you combine all of those deaths, all those deaths are less than the deaths resulting from fentanyl for those Americans aged 18 to 45. That's right. Deaths for Americans aged 18 to 45, fentanyl is a leading cause, surpassing the combined totals of car accidents, gun violence, and suicide. That's why they say it's a national security threat. That's why they say it demands immediate attention. And it's why that the mere election and the importance of Donald Trump is not just the restoration of a better general life in America and job opportunities and more disposable cash, the boosting further to our economy. It's about saving lives. It's about the reduction in deaths from fentanyl, deaths from abortion in those states where the Supreme Court's giving those states the right to dictate what in the way of abortion they want to allow or not allow or partially allow. I've said it before, the Democrat Party is a death cult. They're big into euthanasia. They're big into killing children right up to the time of death. They seem to be okay with open borders where fentanyl kills, 75,000 people a year? They're surrounded by body bags and proud of it. Well, I want to conclude with something that I touched on before, and that is that as thrilled as I am with everything that is happening, there's a certain ebullience, that word, this joyfulness that's coming out. They said that there was joy at the Democrat convention. Well, there wasn't. Goodness sakes, Kamala Harris is drunk on her keister half the time. People are leaving the country on the left. Well, it's interesting. They proclaim joy, but all the joy is being experienced on the right. The joy is being experienced by the Christians, at least for a period of time. And I said, we can't get carried away with this. And if you want to know why, listen to my last couple of programs and the Sunday morning program for the last 2 weeks, Sunday morning with Robin Walter, which you can pick up. But ultimately, there has to be a repentance. There has to be a true return to good. And now I have heard about revivals taking place in this country, starting up. I hope that that's the case. But what keeps lurking in the back of my mind was 9/11 and how awful that was. Kind of like as awful as the Biden regime. But 9/11 was terrible. And after that occurred, churches were packed. Churches were slammed and crammed. And people were saying, God bless America. But I'll tell you what didn't happen after that was America blessing God. They said, God bless America. But we had the most rapid expansion of abortion, queer crap, the expansion of tranny stuff. We had the most excessive and rapid moral decline after 9/11 because the supposed church attendance and supposed attending repentance, attending to attendance and repentance, okay, lasted about 3 or 4 weeks. That's right. About 3 or 4 weeks. And then things went back to sort of a new normal, but there was an unbelievable acceleration of the sin. And so I don't want people to think, first of all, we know Donald Trump is not our savior. We know that. We know he's a man with his own set of sins, but with a heart to do good, and God has used him. But there was a man in Scripture that I need to conclude with this. He was the best king Israel ever had. Who was that? You're going to say, oh, David. No, it was Josiah. The Scriptures say that there was no king like Josiah before him nor after him. And he did things that were, he rooted out evil. He got rid of the temple queer prostitutes. He dug up bones of false prophets and burned them because he didn't even want their bones in the country. He was focused on rooting out any vestige of sin in the country, like no king before him and no king after him. Now, Donald Trump is not a Josiah. He hasn't risen to that level, and I don't know that he will. But what was interesting was God came to Josiah, told him that, you know, things are going to be fine in the kingdom as long as he's king. But after that, because the nation didn't turn, the hearts of the people didn't change. And Manasseh, who was Josiah's grandfather, was the most wicked king Israel ever had, shed more blood than Israel had ever shed. And because of this mass shedding of innocent blood, without a corresponding repentance, God said, I'm going to judge the nation. I have to. Yeah, Josiah, you've done a great job. But the people's hearts have not changed. Not at all. The hearts of the people are sort of stuck where your grandfather was, focused on sin, both sexual, but the sin of the consummate sin of the execution of innocent blood because they were offering up their children as human sacrifices. Now, Josiah stopped that, but it didn't change the hearts of the people to do that. So, is a change in behavior good? Absolutely. But a change of behavior falls far short of accomplishing the ultimate purpose if it's not combined with a repentance, a turning, a change in the way of thinking. And without that, we don't survive. Without that, we don't have a true way back to where we once were. Was this country ever perfect? No, it's always had issues. But there were those times where we've had revivals in this country. We had in the mid-50s, 76% of the people attended church. We had some of the best laws ever passed and a few bad ones that got snuck in. But without that more wholesale repentance in this country, where the hearts of the people truly change, then this won't last. I'm not here to say enjoy it while it lasts. What I'm saying is enjoy it, but at the same time, continue to pray that the hearts of the people will be changed and pray that God will show you your role in participating in changing the hearts of the people. Where do you minister? Where do you give? What is it that you need to do to hear what God wants to tell you and you want to hear at the end of your life? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. God bless you. We'll see you next week. Sit tall in the saddle, America. You ride for the brand of Jesus Christ.